B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Haiti's the wide clef. I'm man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. Home remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, the Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. It is a Tuesday, so which means we've had time to digest and move on, right? So the Eagles are taking it. Like, they're not even going to look at the Detroit game film. You're going to throw it in the trash, which is nice. It's your way of turning the page, right? Except in order to correct stuff, you got to look and see what you did wrong. So I'm not in favor of the strategy. That said, I am in a state of flux today. A state of flux in that, like, today I was out and about, and a guy said to me, he goes, well, listen, when they get the guys back on offense, they'll be all right, right? And I go, yeah, except the problem they have primarily right now is on their defensive line, which was supposed to be a strength. So I go, is that situation going to get better? I know the offense is going to get better because I know Jeffrey will come back. Hopefully he stays healthy, although he's at an age now where maybe he gets nicked up every now and then. Deshaun Jackson will be back, but again, with the age, you can always rely on Ertz. The Goddard situation, maybe he's nicked up to the point where he's not going to be full strength. But even if you round it off and go, offensively, they're going to be fine. You look at it and you go, all these drop balls. There's statistics on these drop balls. It's amazing. 19 points is a Hembo stat. Hembo back after his honeymoon. First thing he did was he kissed his wife and he sent me this. So,
priorities.
Right. In week three, 19.4 of his attempts have been dropped. That's tied for the fourth highest rate by a quarterback with at least 30 attempts since this stat was first tracked in 2006. That's horrendous, right? So you got to think that's going to improve. But my position is that defensively, if they can't stop people or get pressure on quarterbacks, and they're going to face like one of the best that ever played on Thursday, they're always going to play catch up. And when you always have to play catch up, or when you always have to score to keep up with the other team, your game plan has to be skewed a certain way. You can't have the balance that you would like to have. So the whole thing, that defensive line thing throws everything else out of whack. The cornerback in conjunction with the defensive line thing throws everything out of whack. So I am perplexed right now. Normally I would say it's the third game of the year. Don't even worry about it. But I am now on the other side of that. I am worried about it. I am worried about it because I'm not sure I see that defensive situation improving. Now, am I goofy, Tyrone? Is that a goofy way to look at it?
It's not a goofy way to look at it. I disagree.
Is it a sound way of looking at it?
It is
sound.
So
you disagree with it?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Because I do believe that as the season rounds in, Fletcher Cox will play at a higher level, further he gets away from that foot surgery. And I think he's such a great player that he'll make the guys around him better. And I do believe, well, Jernigan will be back in either three. And now because of the short week, he's back in two to four games. You get him back from the foot. His back is still sound. I think that there's hope on that defensive line. But everything you said is very sound. I just am more of a believer in Fletcher Cox than you are.
All right. I am cursed by my longevity in this business. I will be the first to admit it. because I've seen too many guys get to a stage in their career where they get nicked up constantly, and they're never the same. Now, I hope you're right about Fletcher Cox, but what drives me in fear is that he has reached that plateau where guys get nicked up, they don't get healthier. So he's going to be running on fumes a lot. Right. That doesn't give me any confidence.
Right.
Barnett, I don't have any confidence. I mean, he looks like he gets hurt every other play. And then Brandon Graham is at a plateau where his age lends itself to a lack of production in conjunction with knick-knacky injuries. I'm cursed, I'll tell you.
Yes, but Cox has had one injury. As soon as he gets the second injury, I'm with you. But one injury in a playoff game, I don't think that means he'll never be healthy again.
You're not factoring in something. You're not factoring in the miles he has on his odometer.
I am.
Forget about this one injury. This guy has been double-teamed for most of his career. That takes a lot of strength. That wears you out.
It does. And usually, if guys are worn out, they don't just have one foot injury, have surgery, and never get hurt again. If he gets another injury, I'm there with you. Until he gets that, I'm not there with you.
Let me ask you this question, because it's a question that I don't know the answer to, but my sense is, how many defensive tackles last at a high level for a long period of time? There have been guys that put, you get a four-year window, spectacular. How many guys have been good for 8 years at defensive tackle?
I'd have to look it up. I just said,
think about it.
There's been some guys that played at a high level for a long time.
How many got defensive tackles?
I think Sue played at a high level for 8 straight years. He's been in the league longer than 8 years now. I think he was a very high level player for that long.
My question was in number. How many? Not in certain guys that you're going to throw at me. What's the percentage of guys that play at a high level for a really long period of time at defensive tackle?
Right, but you're just playing the percentages. I have to also look at the individual. I still believe by the end of this season, Fletcher Cox is going to be playing at an all-world level.
You're a believer.
That's what I believe.
You're a believer in Cox. You're a Cox fan.
I'm a Fletcher Cox fan.
Yeah, you are a Fletcher Cox fan. I am. I am too. I'm also a realist more than you are.
No.
Yes, I am.
You're more a pessimist more than me.
No, I'm a total realist.
No, yes, you are a negative person.
No, I'm not a
negative
person.
By and large, when it comes to sports.
I am cursed by my longevity in watching sports, because I've seen it many times before where guys get to a certain plateau and then they just kind of fade down. And that's what I see in Fletcher Cox.
Well, that's a certainty.
That doesn't mean I'm a pessimist.
No, it's a certainty.
It means I'm a realist.
That at some point, Fletcher Cox will wind down, because everyone winds down. The reason I say you're a pessimist is you've decided it's now. And I'm saying it's later.
I didn't decide yet at all. I'm merely suggesting it. I am putting you on notice. I'm putting people on notice that in my experience, I've seen defensive tackles wear out fairly quickly. Cox is already past that plateau of wearing out. So what day does he come where he's going to wear out?
Probably around 30, 31.
All right.
But you get 2 more years from him.
Okay. I hope we do.
2 more years.
I hope so.
Then I'm with you.
But you also share my worry about this defensive line, right?
Of course I do.
Okay.
And I worry about Graham. In a big way. Barnett, I agree. Barnett had the shoulder last. He was generally healthy his rookie year. Last year, he had the shoulder. And now this year, he had the... That's a real concern. And the only thing that I have to hope with that is that he'll be hardened with age. Because he started playing at a young age. Some guys do get nicked early, and they harden with age. But that one, to me, is more of a fear for me than Fletcher Cox right this minute.
Okay. Keep in mind, they're going to be double-teamed because they don't have another tackle.
Yeah, for the next few weeks, it's going to be a tough go till Jernigan is back, for sure.
Got to be an equation.
No, I think that he's going to get back. And in fact, for them to win the game, I think he has to get back by Thursday.
Okay. I'm trying to look at some guys here. John Randall. Lasted a long time, defensive tackle.
How many years did John Randall play?
3-4, right?
No, they were 4-3.
They were?
Yeah.
All right.
He wasn't a nose
tackle. Warren Sapp lasted a long time at a high level.
Yeah, he absolutely did. You have J.J. Watt as a 3-4 end, which is like a tackle in the 3-4 system. He's lasted. Had the injuries. Now he bounced back last year with a bunch of sacks.
Most of the guys are older school guys that they have ranked. Like, you know, those old Minnesota Vikings dudes.
Yeah.
Mean Joe. Merlin Olsen. Bob Lilly.
Yeah, we never
guys
got...
Guys like that.
Yeah, we never got to find out about...
Many modern day dudes. Sapp and Randall.
Hall of Fame level guys, I think he's at that level.
Okay.
And now...
B.J. Raji. Remember him?
I do remember him.
He had like a three-year window.
But he was also a big fat guy.
True. All right, let me see one thing on the Phillies here. Today, if I was the owner of the Phillies, would be the last straw. They're out of it, all right? Their magic number is one, so if they lose this afternoon game that is currently on TV, that's the reason why we're not on TV today. The fact that he made Brad Miller the cleanup hitter today shows that he has absolutely no feel left for managing a baseball team. And if I'm the owner of this team, that would be the last straw. Now, I already said if they finish 6-7 games out, which sure is about why I'm sitting here, they're going to. They might finish more than that. That in conjunction with the fact that he made Brad Miller a cleanup hitter today is all I need to know. I've made up my mind today if I'm John Middleton.
You know, Jason Stark was on the morning show. He'll be on with us tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks if it's up to the owner, Gabe's gone.
Uh-huh.
Most likely.
Well,
and if it's up to the general manager, obviously he's back because they're tied at the hip.
Listen, he's an impulsive guy. I don't think general manager's going to go. But I think Middleton is impulsive enough to react to Brad Miller being in the cleanup hole like I did. So he reacted emotionally about the hitting coach. Boom, you saw what happened. This is like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me moment. And if I'm the owner of the team, it's my franchise. You don't play, are you kidding me, with my franchise.
Let me ask you something real fast. Mm-hmm. They lost the first game. They played four more, including a doubleheader today. If they go 0-5 against Washington, does he get to manage the weekend?
Yeah. They won't.
No matter what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this will be an off-season decision. All right, 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missinelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. It's brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street, Philadelphia for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. It's time to start the Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all landscapers looking to repower a zero turn or a walk beyond Marvin Moyer has the best sales around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit PaulBMoyer.com for details. Natalie Eganoff, how are you today?
Hello, Mike. Happy Tuesday. Today's poll has over 200 votes on it early. Which facet of the Eagles are you most concerned with? 50% saying the defensive line. 3% say the running backs. 20% going receivers. 27% going secondary. So defensive line is of the most concern.
All right. And I ask myself, is that going to improve? And I go, I hope. I know the offensive part of it is going to improve. Because the drops will tell that tale. Defense? I don't know. Now they got another corner out. Rasheed in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rasheed.
Hello, how are you? Good morning. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's going on, Rasheed?
My thing is, like, I hear a lot of people, they in Green Bay and everything like that. Like, I understand, like, okay, good and well, they 3-0. Okay, y'all going to pick them, that's fine. But my thing is, I feel like I mean, we got a hell of a puncher's chance. I think we got more than that. Like, I feel like we get Alshon back, we get Kamau back in that middle of that defense. I feel like we got a lot of good things, like, going towards us. And then, like, the thing people feel real, like, we got smoked, we got blew out these two games. No, Carson did his job. He did everything he's supposed to do in both of these games. He put the ball right on the guy.
Now, hold on. Why are you so optimistic that the defense is going to be better?
I'm not optimistic the defense is going to be better. I mean, we're going to make the plays that we need.
You say Kamau? Kamau's going to make the difference?
No, I'm saying it's the difference. We got the linebacker that can run down the seams. He's back. I don't know if it's going to make a difference or not, but I'm talking about we finally getting some new healthy bodies back. You know what I mean? And one thing I say about him, I think he can run better than every linebacker that we got.
The linebackers, you know, listen, the defensive line not getting to the passer is the primary problem here.
No, I understand that. And Fletcher Cox, he's going to get double teamed. It's only him in the middle. I understand that.
All right, so that's what I'm worried about. That's what you're plugging into my worries here. How's the defensive line play going to get better? I don't want to hear about Kamau. How's the defensive line going to get better?
We just got to do what we could do to try to pressure Rodgers. The biggest thing for this game is we just got to try to survive. Try to survive and just try to get back. We got 10 days, of a break. When we get off this game, we just try to get back. And then the other thing we got going for us, we 3-0 on Thursday nights, and they all on the road. You know what I mean? So that's another good thing we got going.
How many of those games were in Lambeau against the Packers? Aaron Rodgers.
Believe me, we won in Lambeau plenty of times. I can tell you plenty of times we won in Lambeau. It's not going to be a piece of
cake. When's the last time they won in Lambeau?
But we won in Lambeau. Our record is not terrible in Lambeau.
With this team now. Different team. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't apply.
I don't think we have been to Lambeau. I think the last two times they've been here. But
listen, I appreciate your optimism, Rashid. I'm just trying to play the other side of it for you. I think you're very optimistic, and I would like to be like you. I just can't this point.
But at the end of the day, we got anything left, we got to come out like a bunch of crazy dogs, and like we can't go down one game and three losses. We can't. We've got to be 2-2.
So you're telling me that this is a must. If they lose this game, now what are you feeling about your squad?
It's just more pressure for us to have to run the table late. Like, at the end of the day, I still feel like we still need home field. But we got a lot of situations that's going on. Dallas haven't played nobody. Mm-hmm. Not only did Dallas.
All right. So, logically, Rashid, now, you believe that the Eagles are capable of rising their level of play to win this game in Green Bay Thursday?
Yes, I do. Every time my back against the wall, you got to come out fighting. Uh-huh. I feel like he can prepare the guys. It's not going to be pretty, don't get me wrong, but we're going to have to do what we need to do, though.
Okay, all right, listen. sounds like blind faith to me. I said that they're probably going to win this game because it's the least thing that you would expect. Logically, though, it doesn't look like they can win this game. Why would logically you look at this game and go, yeah, the Eagles are going to do this, do that, and do that, win a Thursday night game in Green Bay against this hot team? Does that mean their defensive line is going to all of a sudden wake up and get sack the quarterback? Does it mean the cornerbacks are going to get a pick? Does it mean these injured guys are going to come back and are going to like hit the ground running? Like, logically, you go, probably not going to win this game. Hunch-wise, though, you can win this game. I got the hunch. You got the hunch, Tyron?
I'm looking at their record since the Favre era, from Brett Favre forward, Eagles in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They are 6-3 in Green Bay since Favre took over. The last time they played in Green Bay was 11-16-2014. The Eagles won 20. Oh, actually, they scored. Yeah, they won. No, they lost. Never mind. that's the reverse. This was the Eagles. They're 2-2 the last four.
This is a Thursday.
They lost 53-20 the last time they played in Green Bay. Before that, they won 27-13.
Anything that has happened in the past probably doesn't matter in this game because each game is different, right? Each team is different. But if you're coming into a game reeling, and the other team is not, the other team is the opposite, logically you would think it's going to be tough for them to win this game.
Yes.
Hunch-wise, though, we've seen it before in the NFL. A team has no business winning a certain game, and something magical happens and they win it. I can't rule that out.
The reason I don't have a hunch is I have a small hunch about some of the defensive line. I do. I do think the defensive line is going to play better. And that's based solely on hunch on Thursday. I really do. I don't think the receivers are going to play better. I think that drop percentage may even go up, not down. And that's my main concern.
No,
I don't
but trust Alshon Jeffery's going to play, so it's not going to go up.
Well, I don't know how well he's going to move.
And he'll but he's going to catch the ball.
Yeah, he'll catch the ball, but that means there's still Hollins on the other end, and I don't know if he's going to catch the ball.
Oh, you're right.
Or ping pong Jordan Howard.
Goddard could be better, so then a double tight opens up some guys, and maybe to feel a little more comfortable with the opening.
And will Aguilar catch it? You know he won't catch it. He still has to be your slot receiver. He can't catch it on the road, in prime time. He'll fold up.
Yeah, he'll probably make a big play. He really, I mean, that's the way it usually works with that guy, right? You count him out, all of a sudden here comes like some big play that he makes. Sammy and Willenberg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sammy.
Hey, Mike, how you guys doing?
What's up, Sam?
I just want to talk about the lack of the screen game that the Eagles have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me growing up, I would always see Donovan McNabb, Brian Westbrook run screen plays for 20, 30 yards a pop. They'd always usually start off with a trick play or something to catch defense off guard. I just don't see that with Doug Peterson's offense. It's a very methodical offense, and we scored for the first time in like 6 or 7 months in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's no sense of urgency. There's no pizzazz. There's no flashiness. It's almost as if they're going on the football field with like a chicken with his head cut off.
I agree with you. I don't think their play calling has been exceptional.
They have no sense of urgency. And another thing that makes me angry is what I call laziness on the offensive line. There was a play, I believe it was second or third down in the second half, when the Detroit Lions rushed three men and offensive linemen were just standing there watching Carson run around and have sort of ball away. It's like there's no sense of urgency, and you can't win a Super Bowl playing like that. And the one more point that I want to talk about is I feel as though the fan base is too nostalgic on 2017. You know, the Super Bowl was a big accomplishment, big for the city of Philadelphia and all the fans, but it's 2019. We're 2 years removed from that. We're not the same team that we were 2 years ago. And everybody's like, oh, you know, it's not like this in 2017. It's 2019. We have to be real about this. And I don't think they have a chance in Green Bay. You know, and I'm a big Eagles fan. I'm going to watch. I'm probably going to put money on them. But realistically, we're not getting any pressure. If we have to blitz, Aaron Rodgers is going to shred us apart like cheese. And it could get...
But let me just back you up a little bit, because I hear what you're saying. But the feeling about 2017 didn't carry over to the preseason evaluation of this team. Because the preseason evaluation, objectively speaking, by most football experts, said that the Eagles are going to be pretty good. Now, what's derailed that is that their three weapons have gone out on offense, because one of the reasons that made the Eagles good is because they had these weapons, right? So now they played a couple of games without them. Defensively, I don't think anybody thought that they would be sackless in their first three games. So these things that are unexpected, evaluating him at the beginning of the year, had nothing to do with feeling good about 2017. It was legit.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but just listening to how Eagles fans were after the game, I kept hearing 2017 this, 2017 that, and it's 2019.
I know, but the only reason they brought up 2017 is because they thought this team could win a Super Bowl like 2017. It wasn't like they thought that 2017 was going to carry this team somehow. It was like independently minded on this team. You go, they're pretty good. You know, and all we had to go by was paper and who they're putting on the field, depth chart, this and all that. And you looked at it offensively and you go, yeah, they're pretty good offensively. They're capable of scoring 35 points a game. Their defense may not be the total shutdown defense, but if you're scoring 35 points a game, chances are the defense keeps it to 23, you win a lot of games. Well, a couple of things have let down from that preseason evaluation. Get a Frank on the cell. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Yeah. You want to get better defensive line play? put in Deshaun Hall. The guy played like his hair was on fire during the preseason, and it's a no or low risk. Not like having to blitz. If you don't get there, you give up the big play. Just switch out your end.
They're not going to start him because they got a guy they paid a lot of money to on one side, and they got the rookie that was drafted to be good. I agree with you. He probably should be in a rotation.
Yes, they had him active last week, but they didn't rotate him in. I mean, to me, it's low risk.
You're hoping for a miracle here. You're talking about a journeyman player who had a good preseason. So, that's not like a surefire hit. But I agree, he probably should be in the rotation a little bit.
Yeah. Can't go wrong. It can't get worse.
No, but he's not going to save him.
No, but it won't get worse. It could get better.
Right. I'll agree with that.
All right.
Deshaun Hall. Might as well. What's the difference?
No, he should play instead of Sweat. He should be playing right now instead of Sweat some. And you never know. Every so often there are pass rushers that come out of nowhere. You just have to get lucky. The question is, are the Eagles, or this city doesn't get lucky. When's the last time we got lucky with a player?
A player came out of nowhere?
Yeah, like Nick Foles wasn't luck. He was a drafted player who had some injuries, and then he comes back as the backup. It's been probably Seth Joyner. Like going back, Mo Cheeks back in the day. It's been forever since Philadelphia got lucky. Other teams do. They get a guy in the seventh round. He's a Hall. Tom Brady's, for example, a lucky thing. Sixth round pick, he ends up Hall of Fame. Other teams find a pass rusher with some and figure it out. Next thing you know, he gets double digits. Never here. We never find that guy
not
here.
Not a skilled player, but Kelsey would be in that category.
Yes.
He came out of nowhere. He's the last guy.
And he's arguably the best center in football. Right. So, yeah, but I mean, we never get that burner receiver.
No, you're right.
From
the guy that's surprised, like New England gets him all the time.
Yep.
they turn guys that, the Wes Welker and the Amendolas and the Edelmans of the world fall like off trees to them.
Denver drafted a Caucasian running back. No, didn't draft. He's undrafted. He gets like 1,200 yards for him last year, Denver. Caucasian running back. When we don't get anybody here. Hall, in a perfect world, Hall would upset and get 8 sacks. And we go, wow, what a great job finding that guy. But instead, he doesn't even dress.
Actually, pretty good. Come up with the came out of nowhere team in Philadelphia sports in the last 20 years.
Yeah, I would like to build that squad.
Came out of nowhere. You're right. I can't think of anybody.
It should be top of mind. These other teams find these out-of-nowhere guys where, he's undraftable. We like him. And the next thing you know, the guy makes the Pro Bowl.
It came out of nowhere squad.
Yeah. Be slim pickings.
610-622-0975. Good time to get in. Matt Bethlehem. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Matt?
Nothing much. Just wanted to just check in, and I just don't like to talk. I think linebackers are very important. I know you don't think they are, them and running backs, but there is one team that's always got a lot of running backs and always has a lot of linebackers, and they do pretty good. And you forgot my boy Vince Wilfork on your list, by the way. I think running backs and linebackers are the only player that's asked to do multiple jobs.
That's not true!
Yes, it is. All you have to do is do your job on the defensive line. Occupy your hole. All you have to do as a wide receiver is run and take up, that side of the field. A linebacker has to cover, blitz, stop the run. A running back has to catch the ball, block, run the ball. So those two positions that you value very low.
It's not me that values them low. It's football in general. It's every coach in the league values them low. The linebacker is the least regarded position on the field.
I disagree.
How do you disagree? Look at where football has gone. The linebackers are being completely devalued in this game.
What are you talking about? What am I talking about?
When do they ever talk about linebackers anymore in this league?
I don't know. I don't know. The guy from
you're too old school, man. That guy's a one in a lifetime species, Khalil Mack.
Right. But linebackers blitz. I mean, that's how you put
pressure. Khalil, guys like Khalil Mack do. Those guys are otherworldly.
Can you talk about the out of nowhere player? I mean,
linebackers don't blitz. More than not, it's the safety that'll blitz, not a linebacker.
Right, that's true. But linebackers do blitz. You put them on the outside, you shift, you can drop a D lineman back.
Talking about in 3-4 defenses, linebackers will have that effect. Not in a 4-3.
4-3.
There's too many guys that line up as receivers and go to the middle of the field. Linebackers can't blitz anymore.
Versatility at linebacker and running back are the only two positions where you need to be possible.
Yeah, you're outdated.
That's not true!
Matt, you're outdated, bro.
I'm outdated. Yeah, all right, have a good show.
All right. I mean, come on. 610-632-0975. Let's go, Ben in Nazareth. Ben, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ben.
Mike, what's going on? Before I say anything, I guess I can preface this with, I called you in the preseason. I let you know I had extreme trepidation, and I was called a stick in the butt after my terrible. I also want to let the record show.
Oh, good also, for you.
I'm 0-2 in trivia, so. You know, I'm not the best at calling things, but that all being said, I have a feeling they're playing down to the competition. I really do. I think this group is a lot better than they're letting on. Miles Sanders, he dropped it. Aguilar's had a case of the droppies. That happens. That's just bad football. But as a unit, as a core, I really think that the beginning of the season, this is kind of our preseason. We're getting it out of the way. I do believe there's two seasons in football. It's the first half and the second half. I think in the second half, we're definitely going to pick up. And that being said, I actually downloaded the Parks Casino app, and I put some Azul down this morning on them. And then I heard Jeffrey may be able to play. So I'm kind of hyped about that.
For this game, you bet the Eagles?
Good. I did, absolutely.
Well, you got a shot. It's not impossible if they win this game, but like right now, I think we are in denial to think that they're playing down to the competition. There's a reason why they're losing. They're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. Their offensive play calling with this personnel has not fit this personnel. So there's a lot of things that are wrong right now with this team.
That's what I'm believing. I really do believe that the play calling, I have to believe that the play calling is going to get better. I mean, you've seen it. Everyone's seen it, except Doug Peterson, apparently, that Howard can definitely run the ball. I mean, that's a powerful back if we use him correctly. We need that second and seven to set up for the third and one, third and twos. We can't be having these third and sevens.
You know, the whole world is behind Jordan Howard. It's amazing to me. And the people that count aren't. So, you know, it's like, listen, I know we like to think that we know more sometimes, especially me. But the fact of the matter is, I can't tell you about Jordan Howard. And there's a reason why they don't give him the football. I don't know what it is, but there is a reason, because they can't be idiots.
I really hope in this game they do, because he knows the time very well. But
we probably have a higher opinion of the guy. And it's probably like out of line that we have a high opinion of Jordan Howard, because we're reflecting on past stuff with Jordan Howard. We're not analyzing what he is right now. They are. Now, their misjudgments could be wrong, because they made misjudgments before. I mean, their misjudgment could be possible. But I don't know. The notion that the fans know more about Jordan Howard than the team that actually witnesses him is perplexing to me.
You know what I think he was supposed to be? I think they thought they would get leads and then they would use him once they got up in game.
Mm-hmm.
But they fell behind against Washington, came back, and so they couldn't run as much as they wanted to. And then when they did get that lead, they did use him that game. All the injuries happened in Atlanta right at the start of the game, so they're playing catch up in that game. And then once again, that 100-yard kickoff return, they're playing from behind again. I believe if the Eagles came out, let's say the Eagles got up 10-0, let's say, on the Packers. I do believe they probably would use Jordan Howard, because I think then it's some volume carries to try to kill the clock. But when you're playing behind, you can't play that guy. And if a guy can't be a all-the-time back, how good is he really?
Yeah, but they can they can control the early possessions with him. They don't even do that. You know, I get a feeling they look at it like, if we put him in the game, our offense lacks diversity. We can't call certain plays. If we have Miles Sanders in there, we can call almost every play. Like, if I want to dial up a bubble screen, if I put Jordan Howard in there, the other team knows we're not going to run the bubble screen. If I have Miles Sanders in there, we can do anything. We could send him out of the backfield.
You're probably right about that, for sure.
We can't do that with Howard. So I think that they're so caught up in their diversity of plays
But this is what I'm talking about. When you're lacking personnel, to me, you got to simplify it and go, okay, then maybe the defense does know what we're going to do. I don't care about that because this is what's going to make us most successful. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Ah, 250, Mike Missinelli Show. Ah, Philly's woes. They keep getting worse and worse. Bamboo Brad get thrown out of the game?
We think so. We didn't have the sound.
Bamboo Brad argued a call. The pitch looked pretty good to me.
It was right on the board. Too close to take.
Yes, he got it. He's ejected.
Ball on the inside. So they threw him out.
Yeah.
They threw out their cleanup hitter. Oh, my God. What a... He guy puts him in as a cleanup hitter. He gets tossed. Gabe came out trying to argue for him. Come on, man. Waste your time.
And Brad Miller, who are you to be jumping up in the umpire's face like that? All jumping up like you deserve the benefit of a board. What do you, Mike Trout?
This is the last. Am I Middleton? It's the last straw. Not only is that guy in a cleanup spot, he gets thrown out of the game for arguing a pitch. That's it.
So now they got to play the guy they hate. I guess Franco has to come in and play third base.
Yes.
Who they hate. They don't want to play.
In the cleanup hole, too.
Right.
Come on. It's a mess. I was thinking about the come out of nowhere team.
Yeah. You mentioned Kelsey.
Kelsey is the most lasting. There have been guys like meteors that came out of nowhere. That running back they had, they traded him to Buffalo from Kansas State.
Was it, it wasn't Moat?
He had moments. Remember?
Yeah.
Brown? Was his name Brown?
Yeah, there was something Brown. I don't remember.
Byron Brown? Was it Byron Brown?
Something like,
Byron Brown, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he had some moments, came out of nowhere.
Yeah, but he
Rodney Buford.
Yes, came the out sheriff. Of
nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah, that lasted very, you know, short. But they had moments where it came out of nowhere. And we go, who are these guys?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What's Byron? I'm looking.
Byron Brown? Byron Bell? Something like that?
I got to find it. It's not showing up. No, I tried to Google him. The callers will know.
You know what I'm talking about, though. He was like a thick running back.
Yeah, but the only moments.
Played well for a while.
Yeah, Willie Burton had moments.
Yes. Yeah, it's not Byron Brown. It's something Brown, though, I think. I can't remember his name.
But we don't, but they...
They traded him to Buffalo, did they?
I don't remember, but Kelsey did. Kelsey has lasted. Kelsey's first-team All-Pro, Pro Bowl. Like, he's from the sixth round to being a great center on a Super Bowl team and beyond.
Yeah, there are very few of those type of guys.
But other teams, and I know there's not that many around
the
league, but certain teams find them.
Yes, they do.
And Philadelphia as a city. Hockey, I don't know when the last time hockey's found a guy like that. I don't know if they ever have hockey. Like, no off-the-radar Flyers guy, up he has 30 goals. That never, ever happens. Other teams, that happens.
Yeah.
NBA, it's tougher. Because you got to get a guy from Europe or something. NBA's tougher. Never happens here.
It's that running back's name. I can't believe it wasn't that long ago.
I'm trying to think.
Travis on a cell. Travis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Travis?
Bryce Brown.
Yeah, there you go. Bryce Brown. Nice call.
Get an ISO and take it to the sideline. That's Bryce Brown.
Yeah, he had some moments early.
Yeah, real, real early. The guys, I think, are worse than Victorino. They came out of scrap.
Victorino kind of came out of nowhere. You're right. He was a Rule 5 guy. That's pretty. That's pretty good call by you.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing watching the Eagles is, you know, they just don't seem like they're going in the same direction. The inaccuracy, I think, leads to the drops. I just think the quarterback has to be sharp and And you know what? Everybody, I know it's not Carson's fault, but when you're paid the way he's getting paid, he's being paid like a franchise quarterback, you got to elevate your guys. You know, you just have to somehow, some way, you got to make plays down the stretch. And I don't think the play call is helping him. But, you know, to that end, I would say, does he have the freedom to audible? And if so, you know, you really can't blame the play call. Because, you know, in this day and age, you really shouldn't come up to the line and run a bad play. It just shouldn't happen. You know, I know they talked about how he was running a pro-style offense in college and he, you know, fit the pro system great. And he can make the throws, but I don't know. I just don't think...
Well, let me just say this. Like, the play calling can be looked at a couple of ways. Now, what we know is that Carson was holding the ball too long, because inferior guys had more difficulty getting open than regular starters, right?
Sure.
So if you know that, you change it up a little bit, don't you?
I think you run what you run. And, you know, one thing I like to see him do is more concepts, more mesh concepts. You know, your top two receivers, you know, all they did was double Ertz.
Did. So this is what I go. I alter the equation. I go, all right, ground and pound for a little while. We open it up a little bit. We loosen up the tight end. See, there's always a way to combat it. But if you're going to stand there and try to run the same stuff.
You know, the route guys open and things like that. But I just don't see. And I think you're seeing a lot, you know, the impact Frank Reich had, you know. He is a great football mind. He's got the Colts playing like world beaters, got Jacoby Brissett looking like the real deal. And we're left with Doug and, you know, Mike Grohl.
Then Doug's a dope. If he needs Frank Reich to be successful, then he's not a very good head coach.
How many
teams lose their offensive coordinators?
Well,
a lot of them do. They seem to carry on. It shouldn't be, like, all of a sudden you're hitting a mud strip, and you get stuck because Frank Reich left. All right, we're going to roll into the 3 o'clock hour. Phillies are tied. It's 1-1 right now. They're going with the pen in this game. They started the pen. They're going with the pen. They're into their fifth pitcher already.
Yeah, so we might not get on TV at all.
No, we probably won't be on TV today, but that's all right.
That's fine.
This is a pure radio day for the folks.
I like the pure radio days.
Yeah,
I don't like 8-hour baseball games because it's mad.
Right.
I don't love that.
Yes.
That's the part. Like, let's get this game over with just because enough.
All right, Mike Messinelli Show. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.